Well, dear friends in Christ, technology is a great thing, but also sometimes it just doesn't work. So the Wi-Fi stopped working, so there's no slides. So again, as per usual, when there are no slides, just imagine the pictures, and they're the most appropriate and fitting image you can ever imagine, right? But dear friends in Christ, I do bring you the Word of God, so I do say to you, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So to start off with this morning, I want to ask you a question. Do you belong here? Are you supposed to be here right now? My hope, well, a lot of you have already said it. My hope is that a lot of you say yes, that you do belong here. My hope that if you said no, was that you would learn, grow, believe, and truly belong here. When we talk about who we are as people, many of us will talk about our heritage, right? I'm an American, but I'm also the son of a Canadian. My dad's Canadian, born and raised. He's the son of two German immigrants, so I have German blood in me. But then my mother comes from immigrants who landed in the New World here in America and moved west, and as they were going west, they picked up some native wives and eventually landed on an island off the coast of Seattle and were sheep farmers. So I don't really know the heritage there, but that is a part of who I am. But it's more than that, right? You're not just your heritage. You're not just your nationality. There's always so much more, right? To many of you, the name Tarasenko doesn't really mean a whole lot. But for me, who is a St. Louis Blues fan, Tarasenko is one of our star players. Which, by the way, we lost last night, so. But for you, you're not just from Faribault, right? You're Minnesotans. You know what it means when somebody says skull. You know what it means when somebody is referring to the cities. Right? A part of your identity is even how you celebrate meals together. And the one that I've noticed that I've never seen anywhere else is every meal has to have those little pickles. Every single meal has those little pickles. And I'm not complaining because those things are delicious. But I've never seen it anywhere else. And that is a part of your identity. That's a part of who you are, especially as you serve food. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe that He is the very Son of God who has come for you, who came to be your teacher, who came to be your Lord, who came to be your Savior, if you believe that Jesus went to the cross for you to take on your sin, to take the death that was meant for you, if you believe that Jesus rose from the grave, and if you believe that all these things happen to forgive you your sins and give you life, and you're a part of the flock, that gives you a new identity. You belong to Jesus. You are part of the flock of the Good Shepherd. When we talk about our identities, it's never something you earn, right? I mean, there's some cases where you might earn your identity in your job or something like that. But typically for who we are at our core, it's not something that we earn. It's something that is given to us, right? When with my heritage, I didn't slip God a 20 and say, hey, make sure I've got some German parents. It just was given to me. It's just part of who I am. And it's not something that I could buy my way into, right? And it's the same way with the Good Shepherd. This is a flock that you are brought into, that as the Holy Spirit works in the lives of all of us, He calls us and brings us and shows us this beautiful flock that He says you are a part of. You didn't earn your way into it. You can't buy your way in. But in a twist, you are bought to be brought in. The very precious blood of Christ was shed on your behalf to purchase you and bring you into this flock. And so when I open with this challenging question of, do you belong here? I wanted you to start thinking about your identity. Thinking about where you do belong. And I think for all of us, a very common experience is that we've all experienced a time where we didn't belong. Where you showed up and you looked at the people and you looked quite different from them. You felt like you didn't belong. They dressed differently from you than you. They drove different kinds of vehicles. Their politics were different. Their opinions were different. The things they found interesting were different. And you felt out of place. You felt like an intruder, right? You just kind of waited on the side for an opportunity to maybe come in, but it never came up. But yet in Christ, we belong. No matter who we are, we belong. We are united by this universal language of love, knowing first of the love of God and then the love that we are able to give to one another. And in this sheepfold, in this community of believers, we don't care about a lot of things. We don't care about how much money you have or you don't have. We don't care about how much biblical knowledge you even have. We don't care about your past life. We don't care about your sins. We care about you. We care that you are joined with us in love and that you can join us to follow the Good Shepherd, to follow that path where he leads us to love God and to love one another. And in that beautiful phrase, no one can snatch you out of my hand. We cannot be taken from this sheepfold. No one can snatch you out of the hand of Jesus or the Father, as Jesus emphasizes too. But we look around and there are people missing, aren't there? So, Jesus, if this is true, that no one can snatch you out of my hand, then where's so-and-so who used to be here every week? I've seen them at the grocery store, so they haven't moved away. If no one can snatch them out of your hand, why aren't they here? But the reality is that while no one can snatch you out, you can leave willingly. And many of us question, we think it's bizarre. Why would you want to leave? You don't really even have to do anything to be a part of this flock. It is just an opportunity for you to be made new. Well, why would they leave? I will give you some insight. I'll tell you of a time that I left the church. When I was in college, I was attending an LCMS university. I wasn't raised in the LCMS church. I wasn't even raised in the church. But I had grown with my family into a life of faith, and we started attending. And when I went to college, I knew it was something that I wanted to have in my life. But also, I was not very good at attending church. I knew I needed to start going more. And so there was a group of friends that I had where I decided I'll try going to church with them one Sunday. And when we're talking about being out of place, I was nervous, right? There's a lot of places that I felt very out of place. Especially in college, I looked a lot different than I did now. Number one is I had long hair. It was down past my shoulders. The other thing was that I smoked. I spent my time at the bars, and I enjoyed having a good long Saturday night out with friends. And I knew that I was not really a typical Sunday churchgoer. And as I went to that church, I felt that way. I felt like an outsider. And I was also treated like an outsider. I was uncomfortable. What's so frustrating is that even though I believed exactly as they believed, I was not welcome there. They didn't want me there. I was excluded. People may have looked at me with a smile, but that was it. And after that, I never went back to that church. For the longest time, it was hard for me to go to any church. I didn't want to be treated like that. I wanted to be welcomed. Now, it seems kind of petty and immature, and I know because I was in my 20s, so I was petty and immature. But also at the same time, I mean, some of those people just could have been having a bad day, right? But yet, it broke me. It broke me and my feeling of the church, and I couldn't go back. I couldn't think about the church of God without getting angry and upset. Now, what I want you to see about that example is that it's a danger that we can run into here at Trinity. This church is a very loving congregation, and I have seen many of you welcome people in, people who I can tell you wouldn't normally associate with. But you lovingly greet them and welcome them in, and it's a very good thing. But yet there's still a danger for us. And even as we consider this senior pastor role in our church and we pray for God to bless us with someone, I'm worried that you might think that just having a full pastoral staff will cause our church to grow and to flourish. What I really want you to realize is that it's not the team and it's not the pastor who keeps people in the church. It's you. It's you. Sure, they might hear my message on the radio. They might watch us in our live stream. They might meet me when I'm out outside the church and want to come for a visit. They might really be craving the very word of God. But yet to keep them in this congregation, to keep them coming back here, you are the ones who keep them in this church. They keep coming because of you. They keep coming because they want to be a part of this church with you. One of the scary realities is that I have heard from many people out there that we are a very judging congregation, which I'm surprised to hear because I don't see it myself. But just because I don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. We have to be conscious of how we present ourselves. If you present yourself without a smile, without a warm greeting, you might scare someone away from this flock. If they see you behaving hypocritically, I mean, we're all sinners, right? We all still struggle. If they catch you in the midst of a sin, they might avoid the church. They might avoid the church, period. When Jesus says that no one will snatch them out of my hands, it is very true. But the sad reality is that we can choose to leave the flock. We can choose to open that palm of Christ and simply walk away. And the reason that I hear more often than not that people do so is because of other people. It's not because of the doctrine. It's not because of the Word of God. We're all well aware of how much people crave it. It's not because of the offensive nature that sometimes God's Word and especially Jesus have. It's because the people of God are not living as the flock of Christ. Very unfortunately, we have seen this in the news in the Catholic Church with those who have abused others. People who are simply not living as the flock of Christ. And that has scared away so many people from the church. And again, you have to consider these things as you consider being a part of the flock. I'm not trying to stand up here and convict you and say, well, you guys have all messed up. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you in your life as a lamb, as a lamb in the Good Shepherd's sheepfold, you need to be so conscious of how you are living. The Good Shepherd has snatched you out of the hand of Satan himself. He holds you tightly in his grip. And the only one who can release that grip is you. And honestly, the only one that causes others to leave are us when we fail. But take heart in all of these things. Take heart in all of these things because there's always forgiveness. That's another huge part about being a part of this Good Shepherd's flock. Is there is always forgiveness. There is always new life. And especially as we consider our relationships with other people, what is Jesus but the great reconciler, right? Our relationship to the Father in heaven had been destroyed because of sin, but Christ has come to fix that relationship. And in the same way, he leads us as our good shepherd to do the same. To lead these other people to that restored relationship with the Father. And a lot of those restored relationships with the Fathers begin first with our restored relationship between one another. It is how the Spirit works through us to accomplish His will, to bring people to this good flock. And through this good flock as well is that beautiful thing of repentance. The constant change that we get to experience, that we get to be made new and better, learning from our failures and our mistakes to grow into someone who truly is a good sheep of the Good Shepherd. And finally, with all of this, As I've encouraged you so often before, I want you to keep at the forefront of your mind that vision from Revelation. And I'm not talking about all the weird stuff like with the giant beasts and all these crazy things that John's seeing in this vision, but the vision that we see today. Read again with me on page 4 there, Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10, and follow along with me. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God and to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Those voices shouting that out are your voices. Those hands holding those palm branches are your hands. But also they are the hands of many people who God is working in and through you to bring to this flock so that they might know this good shepherd. And those people are not far. Most of them are probably in your own families who God is calling you to bring home. But they also could be your next door neighbor, that one guy that you always seem to run into at the grocery store. The guy that you see as you sit and have lunch at the Signature, the guy that you see who's lonely and sitting and having a beer at 11 a.m., these are the people that God is calling you to. And I encourage you to keep this vision in your mind because that will help you realize that it's not just the people who look like me. It is all the people that God has placed on this earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.